All right, it's DT Systems, dog tested and dog tough. You know, we like that dog in them, baby. We've been using the H2O 1820. Over the last several months, we've been playing with this unit. Our friends at Standing Stone Kennels, Ethan and Kat, they've been using it for years, and we've been playing with it. We really like it. I think for the dog trainer, the hunter, and the guy or gal who's training their dog to get ready for duck season, we'll really enjoy the 1820. Super reliable, super consistent, great unit for you and your dogs. H2O 1820. Dog tested, dog tough. Hashtag man's best kennel, baby. That's Gunner Kennels. Man, let's talk about these crates, because when it hits the fan, you want your dog protected. It's an investment emotionally and financially to keep your hunting buddy safe. If you'd like to get into a Gunner kennel, slide into the DMs and we'll hook you up. But do your best friend a favor and keep them safe this duck season. All right, our number one asked question is revolving around force fetch. Whether your dog drops the bumper or duck at the edge of the water, or you failed a few hunt tests because the dog monkeys with the birds or won't pick up a bird, let me help you help your dog. Bunch of different breeds, bunch of different personalities, start to finish, teaching you how to do it. Links in the description. What's going on, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Lone Duck's Gun Dog Chronicles. We got a good one for you, baby. This one is going to be a little bit different. We've got two professional rugby players. They play with the Major League Rugby here in the South. It's Rugby Atlanta, Rugby ATL for you. These are two gentlemen from South Africa. We've got Marnu and Johan, and both of these guys, they grew up playing rugby. They came over to America in their mid-20s to chase a dream and live out their passion, busting butt and having fun. And I'm really, really excited to get into their story and their background and all about Major League Rugby here in the States. So stick with us, but first, do me a solid, listen to these intros, baby. We got that Yuka Nuba fueling the truck of Lone Duck, the champions, baby, the guys, the gals, the dogs, the pups. We feed them ups. See how what I did right there? That's a new one. I'm gonna bring it. I like it. New formula's out. Do me the 3-month challenge. You've heard it before. 3 months. Chewy.com. Order them up. Ship them to your front door. No big deal. Bingo, bango, bongo. Order them up, and after 3 months, tell me you're not happy. I dare you. Next up, Gunner Kennel, man's best kennel, made in America, every inch of that thing. And it protects your dog. I mean, the thing that gets me the most is the unspoken bond. That's what we built our company on. And if another company represents it like we do, it's these guys. So if you love your dog, if you've invested time, money, energy, emotion into your dog, make sure you do them a solid when you're rolling down the road. It's like having your kid go down the road without a seatbelt. It's like having your kid go down the road without a car seat. Put them in a Gunner kennel. Keep them safe. Baby. Next up, Dogtra. The e-collars. My e-collars, to be exact. The ones I've used for 10-plus years. Customer service, quality, durability. What else can I say? If you're looking for an e-collar that is absolutely hands down, got your back, these are the guys. Shoot them a direct message to learn a little bit more on Instagram. It's at Dogtra Official or at Dogtra Hunting Ops on Instagram. They'd be happy to answer questions, and so would I. You can shoot us at Lone D. You know where it's at. Next up, Kent Ammunition. Give me that bismuth, baby. Woo! I have been seeing a little bit of bismuth talk on the old Instagrams, and I appreciate it. So, guys, right now, it's not hunting season. I'm wishing it was. I miss it, and I miss shooting that Kent. Now, one of my goals, one of my 2021 goals is to improve my shooting. And so what I'm doing is going out and I'm shooting clay birds. And maybe we'll do this on Instagram a little bit, but I want to just challenge myself in trap courses, sporting clay courses, and just in my back, you know, my back acreage where I got my launcher and me and Kevin go and shoot. But we're going to start challenging ourselves. And Kent hooked us up with their steel shot for clay targets and, you know, their bismuth and whatnot, which you all know about that bismuth. So check them out. Kent cartridge, Kent ammunition. You know where it's at, baby. Next up, smoke them if you got them, baby. Get that trigger. I smoked Super Bowl. Super Bowl is right behind us, right? Not right around the corner. They were right behind the corner. Super Bowl, I cooked up a bunch of wingy dingies. Did a dry rub on them all. This is how I did it, right? Dry rub on them all. I got them on the Ranger. It packed perfectly in the bed of my truck on my road trip down here. They're all smoking nice at that 250. 250 degrees, baby. Smoking. Just hanging.
You were smoking them at 250? How long were you smoking wings at 250?
First of all, didn't know you were jumping in on the intro. Second of all, I respect the question. I did it for 2 hours.
Yeah. 2 hours at 250. How were they? Were they good?
Believable. Unbelievable. Unbelievable, dude. No joke. So I did a dry rub. You really caught me off guard there. I'm like,
we don't play in our intros or our podcast or anything. I wasn't there. I need to hear about the wings.
Yeah, dude.
What'd you rub them with?
I rubbed them down with, I don't even know, dude. I don't know. A seasoning, an all seasoning type of thing.
Yeah.
You know, for chicken. Rubbed them down. And how I like it is it's like the whole wing. You got the drumstick. You got the flats, as I was told that that's what they're referred to in certain places.
Rubbed Are you all, a drumstick guy or a flat guy? Like if you had to pick.
Flat. What do you think? I'm crazy? You always go flat.
No, I don't
you
know. Go flat. All right, there we go. Some people are different. I don't know.
No.
I'm a flat guy too.
Yeah, exactly. You're a respectable young man. You're a gentleman. You're a scholar. You're a flat man.
Thank you.
If you like drumsticks, I don't know if I can trust you.
Yeah, go find a different podcast.
That's right. So that I rubbed them all down, smoked them all, and then in the last like 30 minutes, I put, you know, maybe like 8 with this barbecue sauce, 8 with this barbecue sauce, and then 8 plain dry rub. And then I brought those specific barbecue sauces to the party so people could add more if they wanted. And I'm telling you, they were delish. So smoke them if you got them, baby. Get that Traeger. They got all different units for all your different needs. And on my road trip south where I don't have my big dog, I brought my Ranger. It's perfect. It's beautiful. It's delightful. All right, so let's get into the show. We got two awesome dudes, South Africans here in America playing Major League Rugby at Rugby Atlanta. We got Marnu and Johan. Gentlemen, thank you for joining us. Welcome to the show. Do me a favor, tell everybody a little bit about yourself.
Hi, I'm Marnu Redingheis, and I'm currently a professional rugby player playing for Rugby ATL in Atlanta. And I'm 28 years old, recently got married, and just living life in Georgia.
I'm Johan Momsen, also from South Africa. I'm 25 years old, also play rugby back in South Africa, play rugby in USA for 6 months. It's quite an exciting time, and enjoying life in Georgia as well.
There you go. So you guys are in Atlanta right now.
Yeah.
And you play for Atlanta, like, is it called Rugby Atlanta or Rugby ATL? What are they calling it?
Yeah. Rugby ATL is just a short of it. Rugby Atlanta is what we stand for as our club. And we're actually the first professional team in Atlanta. So it's quite a privilege to to play for the club and be part of the build up to it. So it's nice.
Very cool. So, Marnu, I'm going to start with you first, sir. You're 28, recently married. That's awesome. That's awesome. Did you get married here or in South Africa?
No, I actually went back to South Africa in November last year. With COVID and everything was just a little bit spicy and you never knew what's going to happen the next day or whatever. But, I went back home and luckily saw my fiance at that time. And we got married. It was a great experience. And unfortunately, she's not with me in America yet. But we're still working on that to get over here.
Very cool. Well, I do have ties with Joe Biden and ex-President Trump, so we'll see if we can slide her in on like a cargo ship or something, bro.
That sounds great. That sounds great. I was thinking of getting her in illegally at some point or so.
Good.
So, I mean, that's a much better option.
Yeah, of course. Well, cool. All right, and Johan, 25. That's a young buck, my friend.
Yeah, I'm 25 going on 26, but yeah, I'm a young buck, I guess. Don't always feel like it, but yeah. And I've been single for the
in
last
case anybody's
9 years of my life, so I don't have anything to talk about in
case we got any viable options here.
Yeah.
Get them up, baby.
Red all over.
Yeah.
So I'm going to do a quick rundown for everybody. Give a mini background. Everybody hopefully knows, maybe they don't. I played rugby in college. I did a short stint over in Ireland playing for a team over there, and it's a sport that's near and dear to my heart. It's created some of the best friendships. I've traveled all over like the East Coast playing and like I said, over in Ireland. And the friendships, the people, the game, the stories, the craziness, the good stuff, the bad stuff, it helped shape who I am, right? Like, my family is number one, but then this sport and the coaching and the determination and the discipline really, and like the leadership skills that I built in college, you know, captaining a team, it's something that I'll never lose. And so a couple of my buddies, they are an integral part in Major League Rugby here in America. So this is a new professional sport to our country. And so these guys are really flagshipping the sport and trying to get young people in, high school kids, you know, flag rugby, and bringing it up so that the youth are in, then the high school kids are in, then the college kids are in, and now all of a sudden we've got like this bad to the bone Major League teams all over the country. And so, guys, it's super interesting and cool and exciting that, you know, you're not from here. You're from very far away.
And yeah, very far.
Very far away. Very different culture, very different way of life. And to hop on a plane and I remember the feeling when I moved to Ireland. Like, dude, I passed up a career opportunities. I passed up a, you know, relationship, and I moved over there to play. What was it like coming over here and making that decision to come play Major League Rugby in America?
Yeah, it was, for me, I guess it was easier. I didn't have anything really to bring with me, or there wasn't really a lot, but family and obviously friends keeping me back there. But it was exciting. I think I've always wanted to experience playing or working outside of South Africa. And I mean, this is a perfect opportunity doing what I love. Like you said, playing rugby is more than just a game. It's really what helps shape you. So yeah, for me, it was the exciting part, and I'm loving it so far.
Yeah, I must agree with you on, I mean, like, coming to America at first, I've never been in America before, so it was my first time when I got here, and it was a great experience. How the people treated us, and I mean, it's a small sport, compared to other countries in the world. But people just love sport in America, and I mean that's what's make it great. It keeps the spirit high, and it's definitely going to build, and seeing it and being part of it is a great experience.
So one thing, I'm reading your bios, and your manager, I think he's your manager, Kevin. Is it Kevin that is the manager?
No, Santi is actually our manager, but I think Kevin is director of something.
Gotcha.
He manages a lot of stuff.
Cool. Yeah, he seems like a busy dude working hard. But he sent me some of your bios, but what it lacked was, what position do you guys play?
Well, one of us are loose forward, playing lock currently.
But we
play lock. I've played lock actually most of the time. I've played professional rugby. I recently back in South Africa played for the Greek Wars, and I got moved to Eightman for the first time since school, where I played loose forward. So I just prefer loose forward, I guess. But yeah, lock.
Yeah, for sure. It's much more comfortable in the scrum.
I hear you. So I was a flanker. So that was my bag. And then,
yeah, can we explain? As Bob was saying, we have a good, almost surprising following of rugby guys and gals who listen to our show. But maybe for some of those people who don't, like, what in the world does all those things mean?
There's in rugby you get 8 forwards and 7 backs. The backs are usually the quicker guys, the more lean and, yeah, let's say smaller guys. And the forwards are the bigger, more rougher guys, I guess you can say.
The machine.
with a workforce behind it. So, and then in your forwards, I mean, rugby is for every shape and size. You got the big boys holding the scrum up in the front, and you got your taller guys, which is the locks, which is what me and Manu play currently. And then the loose forwards is your quicker, rugged guys, I would say.
Excuse me, hold on. He said quicker, more rugged, and that's where I was at, everyone, in case you want.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, nice. And the back line is all the quicker guys, the better feet and skill, I guess you can say. So, yeah, that's a quick breakdown.
Yeah. The big guys are like the wheelhouse in the pack, in the forwards, as they're saying. And then you got, like, I would say, like, soccer players and wrestlers that are a little bit shiftier, and footwork. They were always on the back, and they were faster. And yeah. One of my favorite things was watching the guys back there who could tackle, right? Mm-hmm. And obviously in Major League Rugby, you don't have guys that don't tackle well, but, you know, in college there are guys that are still learning and get put out on the wing. But if you got a guy that can track and is strong on defense and make a nice open field tackle, it's electric.
Yeah, it is. Love to see it.
So, all right, let's dive into you guys' background a little bit in South Africa. And Kevin had mentioned that you do have a little bit of hunting experience. So I'd like to hear a little bit about that and what it's like growing up in South Africa with hunting as a pastime.
Yeah, I mean, growing up, we were living for a short while on a farm. My sister and them, they have a farm as well. So, I mean, we were a lot of the times at a lot of space surrounding us and so on. So that was great. And we usually, as kids, during nighttime, we usually went out with the trucks and so on in the fields to hunt like rabbits and so on. So that was always good fun. And myself, I haven't shot too many animals in my life. I did before, though. I've shot a oryx and a springbok as well, and so on. And but I love just the vibe of it. I mean, every time we go out, it's always we light up a huge fire, a bonfire. It's good stories that comes usually out, and a new barbecue, a good steak, braai, like we would say. And I mean, just have a great time in the quiet out there, and yeah, just be by yourself sometimes.
Yeah, I think hunting is more about the care, like we would say, the party behind it. Almost going out at night, we stay at the bucky or the truck, and you light a big bonfire, make a braai something, and then. Yeah, and the next morning, if you even sleep there, you can go out at 5 again, which is the time where all the deer were walking around, and that's when you usually get the best chances to shoot them.
That's cool. So is it a family affair like it is here? I mean, who's going out with you? Is it buddies? Is it aunts, uncles, cousins?
Yeah, it depends on who you know who has a farm. I mean, if it's such a big thing, I guess, that people go, it's a lot of times it's a father son thing, but you do get a lot of women who is very interested in it, and most these days all the girls go with, so it's usually the dad that takes them out, depending who has the farm. I mean, if you get invited, otherwise you pay for it, you go out for a while or for some place and go shoot a few deer or springboks or something, and yeah, it's fun. A lot of fun.
That's really cool. So I've never been to Africa, and it's always been like a bucket list place to go. I feel like I could pair it with going and seeing a rugby game and watching the spring. So a springbok, if everybody doesn't know, is it's kind of like an antelope, right?
Yeah, it is.
But
yeah,
it's also the team.
Yeah.
It's also the rugby team.
Yeah, because it's the national buck of it's the country's national buck. We have a national bird, so the springbok is the national buck, and it's on the rugby team jersey, and they are called the springboks as well.
That's super cool. So, how do I want to say this? Like growing up, did you play other sports, or was it rugby from day one?
No, I think during school times and stuff, as we grow up in South Africa, you're quite I wouldn't say you're forced, but you definitely have the opportunity to learn different sports and do it at school level and so on. So, I mean, you play tennis, there's cricket, rugby, track and field, all of those types. I mean, yeah, field hockey.
Yeah, I used to play field hockey as well. Yeah. I was actually in primary school, I was a better field hockey player than I was a rugby player. But I just decided rugby because obviously the throw of it is just too good.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So they really try and get you to try other things and until you find like your passion and what you're really good at.
Yeah,
like in primary school, I don't know about your school, but we used to have summer sports and winter sports. Yeah. And then summer, you had to do two summer sports because on Monday and Wednesday, you have that practice. And on Tuesday and Thursday, you have the other sports practice. So I used to do in summer, I think I did athletics, track and field, and what was the other one? Tennis? No, it wasn't tennis. I can't even remember. And then winter sports, I did hockey and rugby. And then in high school, you just choose one of each, one summer sport, one winter sport. And that's basically when you, I guess, choose which direction you're going to go in.
That's cool.
Yeah. I must say my high school was a little bit different because I was in a smaller school. So, I mean, there wasn't too much competition sometimes and so on. So you would do like all the sports. I literally played golf, tennis, track and field. I wasn't the fastest though, but at least I could throw a hammer or whatever. Mm-hmm. And and cricket we did as well. So I mean, but they make a good timeline of everything for you to get by with and get a good experience out of it.
That's cool.
Did you say you were a golfer? I bet you hit the hell out of that ball.
I must say, me and Johan, actually, we played more golf last year in the lockdown than anything else.
Really?
We played more rounds of golf than we played rugby games.
Yeah.
because of COVID, obviously.
But no way.
Yeah, no, that's a good fun game. I must say, it's a good off time. It's active recovery almost, but you get to experience just the outdoor a bit. And, can take some sun in sometimes.
For sure. That's cool.
Yeah. So to jump back into a little bit of your guys' past to get to know you a little bit better, tell me about, and I might pronounce it wrong, but it looks like the Curry Cup.
Yeah, Curry Cup.
Tell me about that. What's that about?
Yeah, that's your competition in South Africa between the provincial sides. So how many teams do we have? Like seven or eight?
Seven or eight. And it's the oldest tournament in the world, I think, or the oldest trophy.
Yeah, it might.
It's quite a historical event, the Curry Cup. It's cool. Playing there, you get to play against some of the Springboks, some of the big boys. And it's really quite an experience playing against guys. Obviously, you idolize, I guess, yeah. You can say.
So I'm going to try and explain how Ireland was for me, and then tell me if I'm on the same page with how you guys were in South Africa. So I played on a team called Muskerry. And Muskerry was what they referred to as J1. So you had J1 mm-hmm. was like the A side, J2 was the B side, and then you went down like to the under 18s and 17s and 16s and whatnot. And then the J1s, if you were good enough, you might get called up to like one more team, and I forget that team's name, and then from that team you could go play for Munster.
Yeah, okay, cool.
So I was on the J1 team, and an injury took me out and I was done, but is that kind of like the Curry Cup where it's like smaller towns have their own team that's really good, and so you have different levels, and those clubs would then get picked, like the top guy from that club might get brought onto the Springboks?
No. So the Springboks is the international team of South Africa, so it's all the best in each position. Obviously, it's the international team. And then the Curry Cup consists of, it's the top tier, basically. So the teams that play in Super Rugby also play in the Curry Cup, but there's two or three smaller unions that join them.
Gotcha.
So then it's an 18 competition.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so I played for Griquas, which is one of the smaller unions, and for us, it's pretty challenging usually for going up against the big guns. It's always a good challenge, and I enjoyed it. Marius played for the Stormers.
Yeah, you get the second tier as well. It's called Curry Cup First Division. So that's where I played at first. The union's name was the Leopards. And then I went to Western Province where I played for the Curry Cup team and so on.
And
they have the Stormers team as well. That's obviously in the Super Rugby. And me and Johan actually played together in university level at Maltes, Stellenbosch. Yeah.
Maltes University of Stellenbosch in the Varsity Cup. That's you can basically say it's like your college football. It's quite a big thing there. I think it almost attracts as much watching people on the TV than the Curry Cup. There's a lot of people watch it because it's exciting seeing the young players coming through.
It's a very good stepping stone out.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So you both went to the same university?
I actually studied at Northwest University in Potchefstroom. And so I was there for 6 years. And then I went to Maltes for 1 year where I played with Monson.
Gotcha. So now how did you guys get hooked up to come over here? Was it like a package deal? Like, hey, if you go, I go?
No, not at all. We're actually at our club.
That'd be adorable.
No, it's not like that. But we actually quite a bunch of South Africans over here. I think 10? No, more.
Even. More even.
But I think 6 or 7 of us has the same rugby agent. Or sports management agent, and he's a guy that got the contact at Rugby ATL, and he's bringing a few guys over.
That's super cool. So it was. Did you know each other before coming here and becoming teammates?
Yeah, we played at the same university that 1 year, so
okay.
that was the first one. And, so we've known each other about 2 years, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay, I follow you now. So it wasn't, you were at the university at the same time, and then, if so facto, you both get the opportunity to come here.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So how long have you been in America?
Oh, it's going probably now a year and a half almost.
Well, you, yeah, you've been, yeah, besides the month.
Yeah, month and a half, I went over, yeah. But probably a year, just over a year.
Yeah, I was here for 6 months last year, and then left back to South Africa to play Curry Cup end of last year, and then came back now for another 6 months, hopefully to be extended.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So tell me about the Major League Rugby as a whole, right? Like the whole thing. Who are the teams and how many teams are in America and what it's like to be in the, what do you want to, like, man, you're almost like adventurers, right? You're like, you're the first dudes that are on the team.
Like a pioneer.
Pioneer, thank you.
Yeah,
Kevin.
I guess. But yeah, I think MLR has been, last year was the third year, and we're going on the fourth now. And 2 years before the first MLR season, there was another pro league. I'm not sure what it was called. But yeah, so it's been growing, and level of players coming in is just getting higher every year. I mean, we got Chris Robshaw, this England captain, playing here again. Mon Nonu played last year. I think it's very exciting, and it can grow a lot. And knowing what the USA can do, obviously, it's gonna, if it keeps on going like this, it'll explode sometime. So,
yeah, for sure. I think people, I mean, at our first game last year, it was, I'm not sure how many people exactly were there, but it was between 3,000 and 5,000 people. Mm. And it was a great vibe. I mean, there was a bunch of people that didn't even know the game, that they saw it for the first time. But it was so excited for them. They all just wanted to know, listen, what's the rules and how does the game work? And they can't believe, like, this is actually the game we play. They think we're insane, but I mean, but it's good. It's good. I think if we definitely get a season this year, it's unfortunate we couldn't finish last year, but we'll definitely grow the game, and it will definitely be big one day in America, I believe.
It's also awesome traveling so much. I think, what did we say? We're six teams with developing two conferences, the West and East. We're six teams in the East Conference.
Yeah.
I think there's New England, BC, New York, us, New Orleans, and who am I missing? Oh, yeah, five only.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I'm not too sure. Might be missing one. And then, Toronto.
Yeah.
Toronto. And then the West, there's San Diego.
Seattle.
Yeah, and then Texas has three teams, or actually two now. The one team withdrew.
LA got a team.
LA got a team. So it's exciting. You travel a lot. You get to see a lot of USA. Which is not even on your expense, which is a bonus.
Yeah.
Yeah, no doubt. That's awesome. So if you could think of one thing, each of you, I want you to, one thing, and it'll be a two-part question. One thing that you see different from American youth in our sport compared to where you're from, and how, like, we develop young players, and then what Americans could do to build the sport in America.
Yeah, well, I mean, if I must say, I think we start, like, playing rugby at a very young level because you just grow up in that culture. It's already so big. So you start playing rugby when you're about 5, 6, and you always run around with a ball in the hand almost, and it's good. I mean, if you can get your youth levels to grow, it gives people just that bigger experience when they get to professional level. Because I mean, when you get to professional level, you've been playing rugby for 10 plus years, and it's still going to be new when you play your first cap for a senior team. But I mean, that's where you get the experience. The second, third year, you know what to expect. And you just handle opportunities better and play the game much more. So
I think it's all about the fun. I mean, the way you see people in parks here throwing around the football, you'll just be passing or playing touchies. I think you also do play touch football. And I mean, when we were young, with that youth age, you have the youth energy. You'd go to a friend and you go one-on-one, full on go, just for the fun of it. If it gets into the youth, it's just, that's when it explodes really then. But it's going to be hard in the U.S. with football being so established, I guess. It's not going to be for everyone, but I mean, if you get into the culture of it really, then it's when it gets you. I think.
Yeah, but there is definitely training camps and sessions for the youth. I know in Atlanta itself, it's quite big, and people are showing up. People are enjoying the game, and they want to learn, and they want to buy the merchandise and be part of the entire community. So that's what's great about it.
Yeah. I'll give a touch on rugby culture for me, right? Like, It's like your new family.
Yeah.
B, if you were to walk into like a bar or a restaurant or walking down the street and you got a Springbok jersey on or an All Blacks jersey on or, you know, USA Rugby jersey on, dude, somebody who played rugby is going to be like, hey, yo, high five, right? They're going to – it's so tight-knit. Like if I have – actually, it's kind of funny. I have a kid that just started working for me. He's like 18, and he shows up first day, never met him before, shake his hand, and I look, and he's got a little crest, and it said whatever high school it is, rugby. And I go, dang, here we go. You're in. You got the job. Like, you might suck, but you got the job.
100%.
And that's our community.
Yeah, it is.
It's about the camaraderie. I mean, it's more than just the teammate you have. The team here at Rugby ATL, for us coming over here into a foreign place, just how you get treated, just the culture is exactly the same over here than in South Africa. It's crazy how... It's not like, it's an American rugby culture or South African rugby culture or Irish rugby culture. You just, because we are a lot of different cultures coming together here. There's Fijians, Tongans, Samoans.
Aussies, Ireland.
Irish guys. We have a bunch of South Africans. There's New Zealanders. So, I mean, it's just crazy to see all the cultures just the same everywhere.
That's cool. It's like a Michael Jackson song where we all come together. I don't know.
Yeah.
I forget the song, but yeah, we all come together. And we are the world. Yes.
Yeah.
Great reference.
Love that song.
Love that song. But we do. We all come together no matter where you are, what you do, what race, color, creed. You are a rugby dude. I enjoy you.
Yeah.
You're a rugby chick. I enjoy you. Let's sit down and talk about old stories and where you played. And so that's why it's fun to have you on here. And I feel like we're actually kind of catching a groove. We're in this, we're moving, we're shaking.
Yeah.
And so, so this is good. I'm enjoying it. And one question I had selfishly, because I will say I'm a little out of shape. I'm a little bit of a wuss. I'm not working out like I used to. I'm working too many hours. I got a little stress here. You know, I'm doing my thing. Tell me about what it's like to be a professional athlete. Tell me what it's like at the Major League Rugby level with coaches and nutrition and workouts. And I know you can't get into like super specifics as far as like how you guys are ultra successful, but like, you know, what's it like? Are you 3-a-days, 2-a-days? What's your eating plan? How are you molding all this into your day-to-day life?
We are very lucky to have a very good medical team with ATs, and Matt Dallo is very professional, having basically lead us with it. We get meals at training sessions, like one meal a day, and the rest you do yourself. But it's important to it's getting the calorie level thing just good. I don't weigh my food out. I just make sure I eat enough. Honestly, I think we've got big bodies, and the amount of meters we run every day.
So it's basically a full time job. Yeah. I mean, you're busy 5 to 6 days of the week, 8 hours to 10 hours a day. Not exactly where you're busy like the entire time, but from video analysis to training sessions to lifts that you do, all of those technical stuff needs to be in place and stuff as well. But it's good. It's good. I mean, it gets to a lifestyle where you really live healthy and you try to eat nutrition and stuff. That's valuable for your body, and you can benefit out of it. And so that's what's great about it.
But we do cheat.
My man.
But I think just for me, it's the best job ever, I guess. You can, what else do you want? Getting paid for doing what you love. Playing the sport that you love, actually. So, absolutely. Yeah, cannot complain. Some days are hard, but
it definitely gets tough.
Lovely.
So what does your normal day look like? If you've got, it's Monday, boom. Monday rolls around, your alarm clock goes off. What time is that?
Usually around 7 a.m. Some days we start a little later, but most days we're in around 8. You have a session or two, definitely a meeting. You might have an hour or two off over lunch, and then you have another session or two in the afternoon, and you finish around 7 p.m. most of the days. So we got our Fridays off to rest up for the next day, which is game day on Saturdays. And then on Sundays, you've got off again because you need to raise your body off again. Yeah, that's basically the weekly routine.
So when you say you're doing sessions, are you on the pitch throwing the ball around? Yeah. Or are you in the gym, you know, running sprints? What does it look like?
Yeah, we usually get one field session per day. Tuesdays, we get two sessions. So the one session, you'll definitely do some running, where you do patterns or defense trainings, or just basic skills sometimes with different games you can play. Like it's all basically conditioning games. And then you go during the day, you have the lift that you need to do. That's an hour to an hour and a half. And in between those sessions, you get to do your treatments if you need to treat some injuries or get some soft tissue work and so on. And then towards the afternoon, you'll have a small field session again where it's not that intense of running.
Set piece.
It's more set piece and getting clarity on patterns and stuff like that.
So what they mean by set pieces is plays, like practicing movements through the field and like this is what this is. You know, you go here, I go
here. Yeah, it'll be or split sessions, which means forwards go on their own and back go on their own. Forwards usually do lineups.
Real work? They do real work?
Yeah, they actually do work.
Yeah, the other ones, they just run around with a ball. We do the work, pushing things, lifting things up.
Yeah, that's actually get a coffee and
they just have a little tea, talk about the team.
Yeah, they kick field goals. Forget that.
Yeah, they always kick, and we do the scrumming in the morning and the pick up and drives. You know, the stuff that gives you the cauliflower ears.
That's right. That's some meathead stuff. I love it. I love it.
Yeah, that's really beautiful.
That's awesome. So, tell me about a favorite memory from Major League Rugby 2020. What was like a play that happened, a win? Tell me what your season in 2020 was like and how it felt to be a part of it, and your favorite memory.
favorite memory for sure was the opening game of the MLR for us. Office game, it was at home. And I think we were training actually all the time.
Yeah.
And in the 55th minute or around, I think I made like an off the line break and I got tackled. And Martin, who got the ball off the ground, very surprisingly for the defense, and he just ran straight through and scored under the post. That was a cool combination try for the two of us.
Yeah, I must agree. That was a great feeling.
That's so awesome. So,
that was great. And then what was the other thing you asked? I cannot remember what you asked.
What was the other question I asked?
Yeah.
I don't remember, bro. Remember I said earlier before we started this, I don't remember what I had for breakfast.
But,
something about favorite memories of 2020 and like what that
you were asking, like,
go ahead.
Yeah, what you were asking, best parts being in the major league rugby and like what the coolest part of overall 2020 is, some like memorable plays, things like that.
Yeah, so they get memorable plays. What was it like walking out on the pitch in America for the first time?
Yeah, it was good. I mean, we're definitely trying to build a tradition here and get people to come and watch our games. I mean, it must be an electric atmosphere, and that's what it was that first game. Walking out on the pitch as a team. I mean, you train for the preseason for 6 to 8 weeks, where you literally form the bond and form a brothership.
Fitness.
Yeah. Proper fitness and stuff. And I mean, so when you run out on the pitch, it all pays off. It's definitely worth it, and getting that experience and that feeling.
Super excited because we had a full crowd that day. And we play at Life University, and they used to have quite a small crowd capacity, I think. And then just before our season, they put up some stands on both sides of the field. So that was the first time there was a game with those stands, I think. And it was pretty electric. It was filled up. There was about 5,000 people there. It was very cool.
Wow.
That's pretty awesome.
I'm sorry, Kevin. I just want to let these guys know I bought season tickets.
Oh yeah, glad you're there.
And I will be there for like 2 games, but I bought them and I'm in, and I cannot wait to be. I mean, I'm not really a part of it, but you know, I think. But I think when people like that's the community, right? That's the rugby community. Yeah. Is I'm going to go to that game, being like, oh no way, that's Marnu. Oh no way. It's Johan.
Yeah, exactly. I was about to say, I'm looking forward to meet you.
Absolutely. And I can't wait to be a part of opening game this spring in Atlanta.
Yeah,
it's going to be good.
Looking forward. And I'm so glad we got our capacity crowd in Georgia. Yeah.
That's awesome. So I guess now I have 2 questions. First question is, do we get to be part of the like after party?
Ooh, I don't know. We don't really have after parties, do we?
Well, I mean, there is. I know the VIP. There's a few VIP tickets sometimes. I think it's the season ticket holders, actually, that they get a little bit spoiled at the games and stuff. So they usually get drinks and get some food and snacks and so on during the game.
Really?
So
after party, as in going out, that is not happening this year because of COVID. We've got some strict regulations, unfortunately.
Understood. Yeah. All right. Well, so then never mind. We won't do that. But
hold on.
Wink, you can come over for
wink.
A beer.
We'll have fun. Yeah, we'll find a way to have a good time. But I did want to ask, like, you guys, do you feel any sort of added pressure being like big bad dudes from South Africa coming to America to help, honestly, try and inspire other people in this country to follow this game, to be excited about it, to come and patronize it? And like, do you have any like added pressure? Cause like, it's really cool back home for you, but like here it's growing. It's almost new.
Yeah. I wouldn't say adding much pressure actually, but, it's much fun. I mean, there is definitely times where you need to speak up, and you maybe know a few tricks or something that you can learn people. But as players, you can always learn and better yourself and learning the game and just to be smarter sometimes. So it's good to give advice sometimes, but it's good to get advice as well.
Yeah, I think teaching learns. You learn the most from teaching other people, and I noticed that coming here, being like you said, a young buck. I've always been a junior, more a junior figure in the teams I played in South Africa in the past, not the university, but in the senior teams, the Curry Cup team, and coming over here then and being in a leadership role. Taking charge of more stuff. You have to then teach some guys, some younger guys coming through colleges, a little bit of tricks, like Manu said, that you've built up through all the years of playing rugby. And that's exciting, and that's when you learn the most as well.
Yeah, and I think just overall mindset sometimes as well. It, you know, you need to set an example sometimes, and that's good for yourself as well, because, I mean, bad habits can easily creep sometimes in. And staying on top of your game is just where you need to be, because it's every day a battle out there.
I couldn't agree more. I think leadership, and I had my rugby coach on from college on this podcast, and he was the first person that was not in the hunting industry. He wasn't a dog trainer. He wasn't a hunter. And the whole podcast, we talked like an hour and a half about leadership and how to develop good people, right? Like, you might be a great rugby player, but you're a jerk, and I don't want to hang out with you, and I don't want to go on the field with you. So how do we change, you know, young people that, or not change young people, but mold young people into good athletes, good sportsmen and women, and build work ethic and discipline and structure and passion, and pass our passion, whether it's for hunting or rugby or dog training or whatever the passion is, how do we pass that on to the next generation and bring these people up in a way where they've got ethics and moral code and good leadership? And so, As two gentlemen from a different country, and you're coming over here, and you've only been here, I mean, realistically, a short time. Like, it might feel like a long time, but in the grand scheme of your 80 years on this earth, you know, it's 1/80th. So I think our culture in America, we need to take a step and say, like, this is a great sport. It teaches so many amazing things, and I'm going to ask you a question about that in a second, so remind me if I forget.
All right.
thanks for the laugh. I appreciate that. And then let's bring them up from that 8, 9, 10-year-olds so that when they hit high school, they're a rugby team in high school, not a football player who maybe plays rugby at night or a wrestler who plays rugby at night. So I think our goal in USA, in America, is to build that. And so what would be that like tip for a parent, right? I'm a parent and I've got a kid. How do I get them involved in the sport, whether I used to play it in college or I've never played it before, but I've listened to this podcast and boy, these South Africans really inspired me to get my kid to play rugby. Tell them what you would do and how they can develop a good young person and into the game.
I think most cities, most areas have a rugby club where, or a youth program at least, Atlanta Youth Rugby, for instance, where we are. There's a lot of, I don't know how many actually, but there's quite a lot of youth development I see in New England, in DC. I see they're growing again with the youngsters as well. From last year when I was here and 6 months later in Atlanta, I think the numbers tripled, if I'm not being, I don't know what to say about it. But it's just growing a lot. So I think just take your kids. It's going to be fun. Most people just try and make it fun. That's what it's all about from a young age. And if a kid likes it, like you say, it's going to be taught the whole the whole culture just carries through the people that coach it. So that might get your kid into it, and just being around other kids loving the same game.
Yeah, and to add on to that, I think if I must look back to the primary schools and so on, playing rugby as a young boy, you literally play bare feet, and there's a few like parties or I would say like a function or something where all the parents come together and having a good time, having a braai, and everybody's just enjoying themselves. So I mean, it's good to build friendships over there for parents as well. Kids play together, and I mean, it's like we said before, it's just a great culture and a community that you form, and you'll definitely get to experience that if you take part of it.
Yeah, I second that, and I think with Major League Rugby becoming an opportunity, right? Like, it's in major cities. We have a strong listenership in the South. So you got North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, Alabama. You all listeners can make a road trip to Atlanta and watch a game. I mean, take your kid who likes football and likes wrestling and likes soccer and likes just loves sports, get on the ground floor and go watch a game. Take a weekend trip with your children, and, you know, boys and girls. I don't want to leave out the girls, because I think women's rugby players.
Women's rugby is huge in the USA.
Yeah.
Huge.
Yeah.
So good. Yeah, it's so good.
Absolutely. And I think it's an awesome opportunity to just get them into something different. You know, Google, like, I think people who don't know the sport, part of the fun is asking the questions. Well, why do you pass the ball backwards? Well, why?
Yeah.
You know, like, what is that called? Oh, that's called a ruck. Yeah. You know, why are you doing that? Yeah. Well, you know, and so the curiosity of the unknown is so fun for people to come and see and just start figuring it out in their first game. And then they see a second game and it starts to click. And they see the third game and it starts to click. And by the fourth game, they're like, dang, I'm following. And my kid's following, and now we're passing a ball backwards in our backyard instead of throwing it forward to a football player.
Yeah. It's actually, Rugby ATL has a Rugby 101 on their YouTube page. If any of your followers would like to see more about the rules of rugby and how the game works, we've been shooting at it from, like, April last year, I think. Just explains the rules and the whereabouts about the rugby game.
Yeah.
It's quite cool.
Nice shout out on the social media. I like that plug. Hashtag rugby ATL, baby. That's awesome. That's awesome. So I really do believe that there are so many folks down here that could get involved, whether they have played rugby, haven't, maybe they were football players and they got kids growing up and they just want something to do on the weekends. They can you help me out? Cause I don't know the website off the top of my head. Where can they find your guys' game schedule, and where can they find out more about you guys as players? Tell them all the little things, like you just shouted out the YouTube channel. That's awesome. Give Rugby ATL and give you guys a shout out so they can follow you and they can follow your team and they can find out where they can come and watch.
The Instagram page is pretty cool. They're behind the scenes from us training, having some meetings. So it's quite cool to follow that page. There's a lot of, they have interviews with some players, so they can find out some backgrounds on the guys. And then we have our official website as well, which is rugbyatl.rugby. And on there you can find the game, the dates of our matches, and you can also find the merchandise, the official merchandising. And, all the info that you need is on there.
That's awesome. And are you guys Instagram guys where they can follow you?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, my surname is not the easiest, but it's Marnie Redlinghuis. And you can definitely find me on Instagram and Facebook if you want.
Yeah, mine's just also, it's also just Jan Momsen. Anyone, it's easy to find. There's not a lot of Jan Momsen around.
Well, what we'll do is we'll put your guys' Instagram and Rugby ATLs in our show notes. So if they want to follow you and ask you questions about the sport and maybe something I missed, they can reach out to you and give you props for all the hard work you're doing here in America and bringing the sport that, I mean, the thing is, you know, and I don't want to digress too much, but this sport is so big everywhere else. You know, you go to, like you were saying, you got 5-year-olds in South Africa throwing a ball around and kicking a ball around. In Australia, in New Zealand, in every other country other than America, it's something that they grow up with. It's like soccer, and for us, that would be like baseball and football. And, and I think if we like, I know my kids are going to have a rugby ball in their hands when they're growing up, and I know that in time we're going to have that, and so I think the Kevin hit the nail on the head. You guys are pioneers for our sport and other guys like you all over the country that are playing at such a high level. And, you know, the caliber of guys you are, like, you know, morally and ethically and just being able to chat with you over the phone. I've never met you. If you walked into my room right now, I'd be like, hello, how you doing? I don't know who you are. To be able to have a conversation with you and thoroughly enjoy it and make it easy because of rugby and a little bit of hunting, you know, what a cool thing. And I think it's something we as Americans need to embrace, build upon, and grow. And so, you know, I appreciate both of you. And if I'll give you each a second to jump on and just say what you got to say and shout it out and tell everybody where, you know, what we're looking forward to for the first game and stuff like that.
Yeah. No, I mean, thank you for having us. It's a pleasure being on your podcast. And, please come and have a look at our games. The first opening game, I'm not sure actually what the exact date is.
It's somewhere in March.
But please come and have a look at the Life University, the Lupo Field, and see what the sport is about, and come and learn with us, and just have great fun.
And shout out to all the rugby listeners.
Yeah.
Heck yeah, man.
All the South Africans.
For sure.
Absolutely.
As we're signing off here, I gotta ask, we didn't, and that's a hit on us, but who hits harder between the two of you guys?
Ooh.
Who hits harder?
Ooh, that's a tough one. I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll have to get a third opinion on that. No, I actually think it might be Maris. We'll see. We'll see in this season. You guys can decide for yourself.
All right. We'll follow up on that.
I think Momsen looks more dangerous with his red hair.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Ginger ninja.
Well, heck yeah, boys. Well, thank you so much for being a part of our show. Thank you so much for coming to, you know, our country and doing what you love. I'm so proud. Like, no, I don't take this the wrong way, but I'm proud of you for chasing your dream and getting out on a limb and going somewhere where you don't know anybody, and you're chasing that dream, you're following a passion, you're working hard, and you're an example for other people to do the same. You're going out on a limb and getting what you want. So I'm happy for you. I'm proud of you. Put in the work. I cannot wait to meet you in person when I come to the home opener in Atlanta.
Yeah, no, great, thank you very much, man. We'll see you there.
Yeah,
that's awesome. Make sure Bob buys you a few drinks too. Don't definitely make that.
We'll do that.
All right, nice. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you, boys.
All right, guys. Cheers. Be safe. Cheers.
Cheers.
Hey, do me a solid. If you enjoy the show, if you enjoy our Instagram, if we've helped you at all, join patreon.com/loneduckoutfitters. If you do it before September of 2023, you're going to enter to win a hunt with me and Kevin and a bunch of other Patreon members down in Missouri. We're going to smack some ducks, have some fun, do a seminar with our dogs, and have a great time. But jump into patreon.com/loneduckoutfitters. Links in the description, and join the community that helps me help you help your dog.
Hey, listeners, Nick Larson here, host of the Birdshot Podcast. As fans of this show, you may be interested in the conversations on the Birdshot Podcast, where we discuss all things upland hunting, from upland birds and their habitat and conservation to the shotguns, bird dogs, and gear used to pursue them. Whether you're a seasoned upland hunter or just getting started and wanting to learn more, I interview a wide range of guests, each with their own unique perspective and valuable experience to share. If you're on the hunt for more upland hunting conversation, please consider subscribing to the Birdshot Podcast today. We'll be right back.